Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to receive your word. Not words of man, but your words. Lord, that we will respond. For now is the time to do so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Sandra, jy moet nie my sermon notes lees voor jy worship lei nie, né? I want to share two concepts with you this morning that I felt the Lord laid on my heart. It pertains to life. The first is this concept of eternal life, and the second is an invitation. Here in John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come." Somebody says the time is now. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may also glorify you, as you have been given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you." And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. First concept that I want to share with you this morning is, this is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ. It's eternal life. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to reflect on just this simple statement. It's a definition of eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Father, I pray this morning that you will come and show us what this means. That you will bring us revelation that eternal life is a relationship with you. It's knowing you. It's not just knowing about you, it's knowing you. This is eternal life. I pray that you will come and bring this life to us through your Son, that we may know you and have this life that you promise. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many people think eternal life is something that is yet to come. Many people relate to eternal life as something that's going to happen at the end of our life here on earth. When we pass on from here after death, we pass on into eternal life. And this is absolutely true. This is absolutely true. This is an aspect of eternal life. It is the life after this life. It is a life with God for eternity that we enter into after death. This is true, but it's not complete. Because Jesus said, eternal life is to know me. And we know him not just when we die. We know him right now, right here. You can know him. And if you can know him, you can have his life. You can have eternal life now. You don't need to wait until you're dead. You can have life now. John 11, verse 25 to 26, Jesus spoke to this woman at the well. Sandra shared about it. We know the story very well, when she came to the well alone, desperate and thirsty. And she was not just thirsty physically, she was thirsty emotionally, she was thirsty spiritually. And she had this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." I mean, it's a very powerful statement. It's one of those, again, one of those one sentences you can meditate upon for a week, and it will change your life. It's a lost skill, meditation, becoming quiet, just thinking about something over and over. I want to encourage you to do that. This is eternal life, that you may know me, the one and only God. If you meditate on this for a week, it will change your life. You don't need to memorize a whole portion of scripture. You can just take this one sentence. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is John 11. Sorry, this is not the woman at the well. This is Mary and Martha. This is the account of Jesus coming to Lazarus' family after he has died. And he had a conversation with the two sisters. And it's at this point of death that Jesus spoke to the sister, Martha, and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And obviously, Jesus was speaking here in the context of death and life after death. And Jesus was speaking in our traditional understanding of eternal life from a human perspective, from Martha and Mary's perspective. Jesus was speaking about life after death. And Jesus made a statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And it's very interesting if you read this conversation. This is what Jesus is trying to say. He was not just speaking about life after death for eternity when we pass from earth to heaven. Jesus was not just speaking of eternal life in an eternal context. He was speaking about eternal life in the present. And therefore, he declared to Mary and Martha, he says, I am eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. And I want us just to listen to this conversation in its context, because Jesus is saying something more about eternal life than something that we are still going to gain. It's something that we can have today. Here from verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, speaking about Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, and to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary was sitting in the house. She was still composing herself. She didn't want to speak to Jesus right now, because their hearts were the same, in grief and disappointment because Jesus did not come when Lazarus was sick. So now my brother is dead because you didn't come. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, listen to her answer. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yes, Lord, I know what you're talking about. I know he will rise again. I know the scriptures. I know that one day at the last day, at the end of time, he will rise again. What was she referring to? She was referring to eternal life, the resurrection at Jesus' return. And I want you just to close your eyes again for a moment. In this context, I want you to listen to Jesus' response. She's speaking about eternal life at the final day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying the resurrection and life is not just an event. It's not just an event, the resurrection. Life is not an event. It is a person. It is me. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not something that you're waiting for. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am here. I am now. Martha, it's not an event that's still going to happen. It is me. And I am here. Do you believe this? She responded, I don't know what miracle you need in your life. I don't know what has died in you. I don't know what needs to be resurrected in your life. I don't know what you lack in your life. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I don't know what needs to be resurrected. I don't know what you lack. But I know where you can get it. It's not an event. It's not something still to come. It is someone. Maybe you are thirsty. Emotionally, spiritually, like the woman at the well. Maybe you are dehydrated. You need something, but you cannot seem to find it. And you're becoming worse and weaker because of the lack of it. I don't know what it is. But that when that woman at the well met Jesus, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, pointing to what you can find in this life. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now she was there alone, rejected, a sinner, looking for acceptance, moving from one relation to another. But she was still empty. She was still thirsty. And then she received this invitation from the source of life. Do you believe this? I was there once, rejected, a sinner, looking for acceptance, and found none. I was empty and thirsty. It was so bad I wanted to kill myself. The depression and the pain was just too much. But it was there that I met Jesus with a knife in my hand. And he declared exactly the same thing. He said to me, I don't want you to die because I've already died so that you can have life. Do you believe this? And I did. And it changed my life forever. I was never thirsty again because I believed him. I met him and I followed him. And the more I followed him, the less thirsty I became. You don't have to be thirsty in this life. You don't. It's the good news. It's the gospel. God loves you and he's come down for you. My life changed that day, and I not only found water, I found a fountain. It didn't dry up. It still doesn't. It changes the way you see life. It changes the way you see yourself. It changes the way you see others. But that water, that fountain, was not an event. It was not an event. It was not a day. It was not a festival. It was a person. And the reason it doesn't dry up is because the person is still alive. It's not an event. It's not a place you go back to. It's not a date in your Bible. What day did you get saved? I still get saved every single day. And that's not water, it's a fountain, man. You can have it too. John 1:5-11. The word of God said, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Eternal life is not the day you gave your life to Jesus. It's the day that you are walking with him. And you can walk with him every day. And it's only in him that you have it. It's not in a church, it's not in a tradition, it's not in a doctrine, it's in Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Because life is in the Son. I know it's simple, but it's profound. Because that's what I love about the gospel. It's the simplicity of it that will change your life, not the complexity of it. We only try to make it complex. It's not. It's simple. That's why a 3-year-old can have life. Because you don't need a degree in theology to figure this out. You just need to believe. Do you believe this? I have discovered that resurrection is not just for the physical dead. I have discovered that I was dead. I was dead emotionally, spiritually. And I got raised from the dead that day. I've never been depressed. I thought about it last night. I've never been depressed for longer than a day ever since. And I can count those days on my one hand. And it normally lasted about 6 hours, and then I go back to the fountain. The only times I ever got depressed again is because I took my eyes off Jesus. And that was 4 days of my life, maybe 4 days. You just go back to the fountain. It's not a place, it's a person. You just go back to Jesus and he fills you up. But I'm not going to someone who might be life. I'm going to someone who is life. It's simple. And I go find him. And when I do, I have life. Sometimes I need to search him through my emotions, through my fears, through the uncertainty, through the pain. Sometimes I need to press through. But you know what? If you diligently seek him, you will find him. Because he's closer than what you think. You must just search for him. I was dead spiritually, emotionally, but I met the resurrection. I had no life. I had no desire for life, but I met eternal life that day. You know, John 10:10, we know it's a while. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I know that. I know that well. But I also know Jesus. And he's come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Why are you so afraid to follow him? Why are you afraid to pay the price for following him? Why are you afraid to lose your friends, your influence, your money, your wealth? Why are you afraid to lose these things? It will not satisfy you anyway. I know both. And if you've tasted of this fountain and you've discovered the reality of it, nothing will hold you back. So don't. You know it too. Maybe you are hungry. Maybe you are eating everywhere, but you are not satisfied. This hunger doesn't go away. Because you are eating of stuff that cannot satisfy you. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000. We know the story, eh? It was close to Passover. And many followed Jesus. And Jesus had compassion over them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he was concerned about them because it was getting late. And the 7-Eleven and the Spar was already closed. We know the story. He called his disciples and said, come, we must feed these people. And they say, well, you know, how are we going to feed them? Here came a little boy with the 2 fish and 5 loaves. And we know Jesus took the bread. It wasn't enough, but he took everything and he prayed over it. He blessed it and then he gave it to the people. And you know what verse 11 says? Verse 11 says, they had as much as they wanted. Jesus fed them as much as they wanted. And there was leftovers. I mean, Jesus gave them so much, they couldn't finish it. There was more than enough, more than what they needed. And in the end, they gathered it together and there was more than 12 baskets left. The very next day, so powerful, the very next day, the same Jews came to look for him. Because in between it was Jesus walking on water to his disciples. We'll get there some other time. But the very next day, the same Jews came to look for Jesus. And Jesus, when they found them, answered them and said, because they asked him, where were you? I mean, we saw you on the mountain and now you're this side of the river, of the lake. Where were you? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Jesus was not speaking about the physical loaves. He was speaking about his words. You know, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because you ate of the loaves and were full, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal on him. What are you hungry for? What are you searching? What are you trying to eat? What are you trying to fill yourself with? Jesus says, do not labor for food that perishes, but labor for food that I will give you that would lead to everlasting life. Everlasting life is not from the life to come. It's right here, right now. It's here right now. We are eating of it now. It's doing something to you. You don't have to have it only on Sundays, eh? And you don't need me to give it to you either. You can have it for yourself every day. Now they were really confused by these words of Jesus, and therefore they said to him, verse 30, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. And they said to us, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. You want this bread? I can't give you this bread. Because it's not a book. It's not a Sunday service. It's a person. It's called Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I am. I am the bread. They asked him, give us this bread always. Give us this bread that you're talking about, that if we eat it, we'll never go hungry. This that will satisfy us, that will lead to eternal life. Give us this. Give us the formula. Give us the 5 steps. Give us the discipline. Give us something. And Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I'm not to come, I'm here, I'm now. You can eat of that bread. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so hesitant? I do not know what you're hungry for. I do not know what you're pursuing for in your life. Maybe you're like Bono and you still haven't found what you're looking for. But I found what I'm looking for. So can you? You know, in this life, we look for 3 things. My little daughter asked me, what am I preaching about? I said, you know what? In life, we're looking for 3 things. We're looking for love. We're looking for joy. And we look for peace. That's what we're looking for in this life. We want peace. We want the assurance that everything is going to be fine. I don't need to be afraid of the unknown, of the future. I want peace. I want security. I want assurance that everything is going to be fine. And that's easy when you live in a great house and you have a great salary coming in. It's difficult if you don't have a salary coming in and you don't have a house to live in. But I want to praise God. My assurance, my peace is not found in a building or in a salary. It's found in a person. And the reason we lose our peace is because it's not in Him, it's in other things. But one of the things that we're looking for in this life is peace. The other thing that we're looking for is joy. You know, the excitement to wake up. The excitement that we wake up with every day for life. It's joy. It's not found in doing something. It's found in knowing someone. I mean, we can do things that can create pleasure, but we know those pleasures are fleeting. It doesn't last. Why don't exchange it for someone that's eternal, so that your joy may be eternal, so that you may have it every day when you wake up? Why not be excited every day to wake up? Who wants to? That's one of the pursuits of life, you know, to have peace and to have joy. And the other pursuit in life is to have love. Love for who you are, despite of who you are, without the fear of rejection, knowing that this love will never fail. You can only find those 3 things eternally. You can find the temporal. You can find the counterfeit. You can find the fleeting in this life. But eternal love, eternal joy, and eternal peace can only be found in a person. And that's not one day, it's for now. Because His resurrection was 2,000 years ago. It's not to come. Ours maybe, but His is already done. He's already alive. So you can have more love, you can have more joy, you can have more peace. the more you have of Christ, the more love you will have, the more joy you will have, the more peace you will have. It's a simple mathematical equation. More of Christ equals more of love, joy, and peace. If you lack any of those, you need more of Jesus. You don't need more money. You don't need more houses. You don't need more pension funds. You don't need more investments. You just need more of Jesus. This is only found in a relationship with Him. This was the first part of my sermon. The second part, and I want the ushers to hand out communion. You can hand it out now, so long. The ushers, the communion. It's the cue. The second part is this vision in Ezekiel 47. I don't know why Sandra hacks my computer. But it speaks of this river that flows, and wherever it goes, it brings life. It even flows into the Dead Sea and it brings life. Hey, maybe your life is like a Dead Sea. Maybe everything dies in it. Or when this river flows into your life, it will bring forth sweet water and fish and trees of every kind that bears its fruit on its banks. But it's in the middle of this vision that the angel takes Ezekiel. Ian, from verse 3, you must maybe skip down. Next slide. Yeah, the next slide. That's now the one after this one. There we go. Going on eastward with the measuring land in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water. I was only ankle deep. And again, he measured another 1,000, and he led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Hey, it got deeper. And then he led me further, and it got waist deep. It got even deeper. And then he led me further. And you know what? It began so deep I could no longer stand. I don't know if you've ever swam in a river. But it has a current. And you can kind of determine the direction that you're going in while your feet is still on the ground. But you know what? When you go so deep where your feet no longer touches, the only thing you can do is follow the current. And ironically, it's normally like a 90 degrees in the opposite direction. The second part of the sermon is simply an invitation. It's to go deeper. I don't know if you're ankle deep. Or maybe you're just at the banks. Maybe you're just checking this river out. Maybe your feet is wet. Maybe you are ankle deep in it. Maybe you step into this river and you're ankle deep in it. Maybe you're already waist high. Maybe you've come to the point where it's just your head sticking out. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I don't know how deep you are. But the second part of this sermon is simply an invitation to go deeper. It's not about how deep you are. It's just about taking a step deeper. Because I can guarantee you this, the deeper you go, the more life you will have. So whether you're standing at the bank or whether you're already waist high, this invitation God is giving us is simply this: I am the life. I am eternal life. It's me. Come closer to me. Come in deeper. And you will have more. So this morning, I want to give us an opportunity just to respond to that. As I was preparing this, I thought, Lord, I should have kept this for Easter Sunday. Hey, but you know what? This relationship is not bound by an event or a date or a festival. Hey, we have Easter every day. It's an invitation. Just go deeper. I don't know what it means to you. It's going to mean different things to different people. It's just an invitation. Is there anybody that we passed over? Anybody that still needs a cup? There we go. We still need cups here in the middle. Dillion, copies. Need some. There we go. Just raise your hand if you need cup. There we go. That row still needs. Anybody that still needs bread? We're having a baptism, I realized today. Maybe you need to go all the way. Maybe you need to come with us. Maybe that's a step for somebody. I've got extra towels. If you go in your clothes, I'll go in mine. I don't know who you are. I don't know how deep you are, but God is inviting you to go deeper. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond to that in your own hearts. And then we're going to partake together in communion. So I'm going to give you a minute or two just to speak with God. And then we're going to share together in communion. So just respond to Him. He is life. And He's calling you deeper. And one day, you're going to go so deep, you're just going to let go. Just talk to Him. While all the eyes are closed. Maybe you are here today and you've never been in this river. And you've never surrendered your life to Him. You've never given your life, or maybe you got out of this river. Well, He's calling you back into it. Because you won't find life outside of this river. And that's why He's calling you back. Because He loves you. If you want to get back into this river or for the first time, if that is you, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond today to that. If that is you today and you want to get back into this river, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? It's another hand. Thank you. Thank you. Another hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can drop it again. Thank you for that hand. I just want you to pray a prayer with me, and then just feel I must challenge you to do something bold. Ach, something radical, something out of control. If you're coming back into this river, come join us for baptism. Come be baptized with us. Why not just let go of everything? Why not just jump into the deep side? It will change your life. But that's your decision. Father, I want to thank you for these hands, Lord. I'm going to thank you for these hearts. Let us all just pray together with me. Make this our prayer as we pray with those who are coming back into this river and those who are coming in for the first time. Let's just pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you love me. Thank you that you invite me closer. Thank you that you invite me to be free. That even though I'm a sinner, you set me free. And I'm no longer a sinner. I'm now a child of God. And I'm free from sin. I'm free from its power. And I've been made holy. I've been declared righteous. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the life that you've given me. And from this day on, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead me. And I will never turn back again. Because I know you love me. And today I declare that I love you. And I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for what you have given us through your Son. I thank you for your body that was broken for us. You became sin, who knew no sin, to deal with the consequence of our sin. Lord, we remember your death. We remember the cost. We thank you for it. We worship you for it. And as we eat of this, Lord, let us not forget what you have done for us. Let us eat together. Father, we thank you for the blood of your Son that was spilled for us, that ushered us into a new dimension. A new era of freedom, of acceptance, of identity, of belonging. We who were not a people became a people. More than that, we became the people of God. We want to thank you for what you have done for us as Gentiles, grafted into your covenant. Lord, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this blood that washes us clean, that seals us, that ushers in life, eternal life, not just for one day, but for now. That we can come to the same temple, not just as Jews, but as Gentiles. Not just as Gentiles, but as children of God. And there's nothing that keeps us from you anymore. I want to thank you for this. As we drink this blood, we declare that we believe that it is life. Let us drink together. Amen. I'm going to ask the band, maybe we must sing that new song. I think it was quite applicable, because this is a joyous thing. You know, I know it's serious and I know it's sometimes sensitive, but this life is not somber. It's stronger. You know what? There's place for reverence and reflection, but hey, this river is fun. It's fun. And it starts off as a calm river, and once you let go, it soon becomes a rapid. But by the time you hit the first rapid, you'll teach you to overcome your fear, and soon you will be shouting more. Give me more of this rapid. It's a great adventure. Just going deeper.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.